It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Mix makes the catch for the touchdown! He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary!
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do! Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one. Down the middle of the field, into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, you can reach us at hashtag Giants Chat. Well, the NFL Combine officially began yesterday. The players start working out over the weekend. And end of this week, beginning of next week. So this is when the draft process starts to kick into high gear. Now, a lot of the groundwork has already been done around the NFL as scouts looked at all the game film and the tape of college games over the course of the regular season. And now guys get to show their raw athletic ability. And that's what the Combine's all about. It's not necessarily seeing what type of football players these guys are, but it's showing their ceiling of athleticism. So there are things to look at the Combine. I always think it's more important to see what the guys did on the field against competition during the year, but the Combine also gives some nice information as well. So in the spirit of the Combine getting kicked off, our question of the day: where do you want the Giants to get younger this offseason? And especially I'm talking about the draft. The Giants are like 19th overall. They have all their picks. So where do you think the Giants need to get younger as they move forward in this offseason? 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Let's start it off with Yakir in Israel. Yakir, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. The Giants have cut Bradshaw.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they should maybe try to sign a free agent or maybe even draft a running back or just stick with, I mean, like if Brown or Wilson got injured, then
I think the Giants are pretty happy with where they are at running back. They have a second-year player in David Wilson. They're going to have a third- or fourth-year player in Andre Brown, who doesn't have a ton of NFL experience. And Darrell Scott's another guy that they drafted that they think they have some faith in. Might they draft another guy in the late round? Sure. Do I see somebody in the top three rounds? Probably not. However, I do think the Giants would be wise to add a veteran running back. Now, this could be Ahmad Bradshaw in a couple months if he doesn't get money elsewhere. Maybe he'll come back at a low contract number. But Michael Turner, if he ends up being available, that's maybe a guy the Giants can talk about. Just a veteran out there that I think it is a little steadier in case, like you mentioned, Andre Brown and David Wilson don't prove they can stay healthy over the course of a season. They can look elsewhere at running back for a veteran that they know what they're going to get out of him. So, yes, I believe at some point this offseason, the Giants will add a running back. I think more than likely it'll be in free agency.
Okay, thanks.
All right, Yakir, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. Your line was cutting out there a little bit, bud. Sorry about that. But, yeah, I think the Giants do need some depth and help at running back. There's no question about it. No question about it. And I think as the Giants move forward into the offseason, this is a spot that they're going to wait for. They'll wait for maybe some June 1st cuts. They'll wait to see who else teams let loose over the course of these next few months. And they'll try to pick a veteran up off the quote-unquote scrap heap to see if they can contribute and add some depth to that running back position. 201-939-4513. Ed is in Maryland. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, John. Yeah, I was hearing yesterday that Freddie would like to play for the Giants, and I was just talking to some Giants fans, and you know, some are split. Some think that OC is a better player, or that they're both similar. And I just think if Freddie would take a decent deal to come to Giants, that would be a great move. I think he really helped about the pass rush. And I just wanted to want you to take. Do you think Freddie like a better player than OC, or do you think they're both the same? Freeney's a better player than Osi.
I think at this point in their careers, Freeney's probably a little bit better than Osi, but I do think they're very similar players in that they're defensive ends that don't necessarily love to play against the run, but they do excel at getting after the quarterback. So if you do lose Osi and Freeney's willing to come, and I stress this, Ed, a reasonable salary number, and the Giants don't have to commit a lot of long-term money, a lot of guaranteed money to him. Do I consider bringing in a Dwight Freeney to help get that pass rush to where it was? Sure. I'm just not sure Dwight Freeney's to the point in his career. I know he says, I want to be with the contender, sure. But then in his next sentence, he says, I'd love to play for the Jets too. So I'm not sure what Dwight Freeney's priority is right now. Frankly, the way he's talking about how all these teams would be a great fit for him, I think he's still looking for a paycheck, to be quite honest with you. And I think another team's going to be willing to offer more money than the Giants.
Yeah, that's true. But what type of deal do you think he's trying to get? Do you think he wants a short-term deal, or he's still trying to get like a four-year large guaranteed money contract?
You know what? It's funny. He said what, you know, I think what he thinks people want him to say, and that his big interest is winning a championship. He wants to go to a team where he can win a title. Now, he's 33 years old, and that's honestly older than I thought. And usually a defensive end, once you hit 33, you don't have a whole lot left in the tank. OC's 2 years younger than Freeney at just 31. So I don't think Freeney's going to get more than a 2 or 3 year contract wherever he goes. I think that's what he'll look for. So if OC does decide that he wants to leave and he can still be a full-time defensive end somewhere else, and Freeney says, look, I'll take a 3 year, $15 million contract with not a ton of that guaranteed, do I think the Giants will consider and talk about it to give them a third down pass rushing threat and he'll play 30 to 35 snaps a game? Yes, I think the Giants will consider that.
Yeah, because I just think he's still a great player. And we had like a lack of pass rush last year for like the most part, and we went games without getting a sack, and that's Freeney's specialty. As far as OC, I think he hasn't gotten paid the way Freeney has during his playing days with us. So OC's looking for like a large contract, maybe like $40 million, $50 million. Freeney, I'm pretty sure will take like a 2 year, $10 million deal. And then my next question, too, is about Hickson. You know, I don't know if the Giants have talked to him about possibly bringing him back, but do you think Dominic Hickson's coming back, or do you think Jernigan, this is his year next year, to be that fourth receiver or possibly handle the punt and kickoff duties?
I think they'll give Jernigan a chance to earn that role, Ed, but I don't think they're going to give it to him, and I think they're going to bring competition in to fight him for it, and I think that's Dominic Hickson. I'm not sure that Hickson's going to get, you know, some big money contract elsewhere. I think the Giants could bring him back at a good and reasonable number. He's a guy that Eli Manning trusts to always run the right route. He's valuable on special teams, like you just mentioned. And frankly, he's a good guy in the locker room, willing to play through injuries. That always does the right thing. So, in my opinion, there's an excellent chance Dominic Hickson makes a return. And with Reuben Randall taking over that number three wide receiver spot, Hickson could return to more of a special teams role as a spot sub as a wide receiver.
All right. Thanks, John.
All right, appreciate it, as always, my friend. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Let's go through some of your questions on Twitter. You can send in your comments to hashtag GiantsChat. Let's see. Jacob Gorksky writes in, wants to get younger at linebackers and offensive line. I think those are actually two very good positions, Jacob. If you took that linebacker core, and we talked about this yesterday, the Giants really only have one linebacker under contract that's played significant minutes in the National Football League, and that's Jaquan Williams. Phillip Rivers is a free agent. Keith Rivers is a free agent. Michael Boley was let loose. Chase Blackburn's a free agent. So the only guy really on the roster with a lot of experience at linebacker is Jaquan Williams. So I think the Giants do need to bring in a couple more linebackers, whether it's in the draft or in free agency. Remember, they do have some young linebackers on the roster still, whether you're talking about Mark Herzlich at middle linebacker, and then, of course, you have Spencer Paysinger, another guy that could get some action at outside linebacker. So those are two guys the Giants kind of have in their back pocket that can do some things. But I do think the Giants need to add some linebackers, and if you want to add one high in the draft, I would not have a problem with that because the Giants need to get an impact player at the linebacker position, whether it's a veteran or whether it's a young guy. You got to bring somebody in to help out there. Our good friend Marcus Erickson writes in, O-line and D-line, maybe a long shot, but it would be nice if Eric Fisher or Chance Warmack would fall to us in the first round. Well, I could tell you, if Chance Warmack falls to the Giants that late in the first round, they will be doing backflips, cartwheels, having a Mardi Gras parade down the hallways of the Timex Performance Center. Because Mike Mayock basically said that Chance Warmack might be the best overall player in the draft and one of the best offensive linemen to come out of this draft in a very, very long time. So I don't think he's going to be there that late in the first round. Remember, the Dallas Cowboys choose ahead of the New York Football Giants. They have a lot of offensive lineman problems. I don't think they would let Chance Warmack get by them. Now, maybe a guy like Jonathan Cooper, another very good guard, might be available at that point. So that's someone maybe you have to think about if you're the Giants. And then you mentioned Eric Fisher. He's a 6'8 offensive tackle that's 305 pounds. Mel Kiper has him as this number 7 guy on his big board. Great offensive tackles go early in drafts. That's kind of how this goes. That's how this game is played. Marcus, I appreciate it, and I like your optimism. And it would be great for the Giants if one of those offensive linemen fell to them at 19. If they did, I'm sure the Giants would really consider taking them based on the fact that they're a best player available type of team. But to think or consider to even plan one of those guys is going to be there, I think, is a little bit of a stretch. That's the second best tackle in the draft and the best guard in the draft. Those guys more than likely will be, I think, will be gone in the top 10. And if not that, they'll be gone in the top 15. So take that for what it's worth. I like the optimism. Not sure if it's realistic, unfortunately. Then you have Mike Norton writes in, we need depth at linebacker and defensive back, more or less completely revamp the defense. Well, I get that. The Giants' defense was a problem this year, and they're going to have to address it one way or the other. That being said, you already have some youth in the defensive backfield. You have Prince Amukamara coming into his third year as a member of the Giants. Then you have Jerron Hosley coming into his second year, who had some success last year at slot corner, showed some physical ability, but also got beat an awful lot and had struggled, especially in the second half of the season. Is Prince ready to step up and take that number one cornerback role so Corey Webster can take a little bit of a step back maybe and take a look around and say, look, I'll take some heat off you, Corey. You're getting up in age. I'm in my third year. I'm a first-round pick. I'm ready to be that number one stud cornerback. Can he do it? It remains to be seen. We'll have to find out. But I think that certainly is a possibility that he can become that player. Now, do the Giants need to add some more depth at defensive back? No doubt about it. So would it shock me if they took a couple corners or one corner in the draft to give more depth in that position? Yes. But I'm with Marcus Erickson, and I'm with both Mike and Jacob, where the Giants need to get younger as a defensive line and a linebacker. On the defensive line, you have Linval Joseph. He's still in his prime. So is Jason Pierre-Paul. Justin Tuck's getting up in age. Mathias Kiwanuka is in his prime, but he's getting a little bit older. You let Chris Canty go. You let all those linebackers go that we talked about. I think the Giants will look to add some reinforcements in that defensive front seven in the draft. And as you get ready for the draft, and we mentioned this briefly at the start of the show, the NFL Network makes a big deal about the Combine. They show it on TV. They show the events, whether it's the shuttle, the bench press, you know, the guys running their 40-yard dashes, whatever the case might be. And I know a lot of fans get all excited they watch the Combine over the weekend. I'm going to be honest with you. I have no intention of watching 1 second of this thing. It's boring TV. I'm in the business of television and radio. I not only host, I produce the stuff. I know what good TV is, especially good sports TV. This is not good TV. And it's not NFL Network's fault. They do everything they can to make it great. They bring on awesome guests. The analysts do a good job. They tell old draft stories. They bring on their draft experts. They do a good job, whether it's Mike Mayock or anybody else. But watching guys run around in shorts and guys clicking stopwatches is not exciting. Be one thing if these guys were competing against other people at the position. That's fun to watch. I just can't get excited watching guys run around in basically workout gear and getting timed. Now, obviously, the combine has a large impact on the draft, and it should. This is supplemental information to what the guys did during the football season. You sit there and you say, look, during the season, these players did A, B, C, D, and E against competition. Can that translate to the NFL? I think what the combine helps you figure out is whether or not these guys' skill sets and production at the college level can translate to the NFL. And a lot of that has to do with raw athletic ability. And that's what the combine's testing. They're not testing how good of a corner you are. Sure, you can see some technique in the shuttle drill and stuff like that. But you're seeing what type of athlete these guys are. Because, you know, once you get to the NFL, you'll be competing against the best athletes on the planet. And you were maybe a great player in college against not-so-great athletes or guys that wouldn't be able to succeed in the NFL. But how are you going to do against the best of the best? And a lot of that has to do with your raw athleticism. And that's what the combine tests. So some guys, you've seen, they're called combine kings. They bounce up. They get a lot of love off the combine because their numbers might be better than their production. And you have other guys who have great production. They go to the combine and you say, oh, wow, this guy's not a great athlete. How is he getting open wide receiver? He runs a 4.55. He's not a wide. We can't draft this guy. He runs a 4.55. He's not getting open on the NFL level. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Some guys have better game speed than they have combine speed. A guy might run a 4.35 at the combine with shorts and a T-shirt. Once you get the helmet and the pads on him, he's running a 4.5. Would you have that guy, the guy that runs a 4.45 at the combine and then runs a 4.45 when he has the pads and the helmet on, he's worried about getting hit. So this is the trick when it comes to the combine of what makes it so challenging. Figuring out, are these guys as good as their combine numbers or are they as good as their production? Do you balance the two? Is one more important? That's why these guys in the front office get paid all this money. 201-939-4513. Steve's in Washington, D.C. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, pal?
Listen, I'm glad to hear that Freeney would like to come to the Giants, and I hope more free agents want to come to the Giants, but thanks for no thanks as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you know, I believe, you know, he has some gas left in the tank, but 12 tackles he had last year, no thanks. We need somebody. I mean, I don't mind being long on the tooth as far on the defense. If it's going to be at the line, I feel like that's probably where we need to be longer than two, if anywhere.
Yep.
But I'd like to see us get some young linebackers in. But I was thinking, you know, first of all, OC would be the first choice, but obviously we probably can't afford to keep him on the roster. But maybe, what's his name, Starks out of Miami, Randy Starks. What do you guys think about Randy Starks from Miami as far as the defensive end?
I honestly have to take a look at him. I haven't done a ton right now of draft research, but obviously Starks is a guy that's had some success at tackle for the Dolphins. He's 29 years old. He's still in his prime. I mean, he's a guy the Giants could look at 29. He's still in his prime. That's certainly something you would like, but they do need some depth at defensive tackle. I guess, again, it all depends, Ed and Steve, excuse me, and it all depends on the value, to be honest with you. I mean, you love to bring these guys in, but the Giants simply don't have the resources to pay some of these guys big money contracts. Can you find a guy in the draft or on the cheap that'll give you similar production to a guy like Randy Starks, who's probably going to get a decent-sized contract as a free agent? You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I like him because, you know, he can get to the pass. I think he had about 4.5 sacks last year, but, you know, he's definitely a good run stopper. You know, he's definitely a stopper. And actually can defend against the pass, believe it or not.
Yeah, he had an interception against the Bengals this year, right?
Yeah. I think he had about four or five of our pass defended this year. You know, so he's pretty good athlete as well. But, you know, and I like the kid's motor. I think he has a, you know, pretty good motor on him. And I'd really like to see somebody with a good motor and some aggression. But, you know, I hope we focus on stopping the run. We need people who are willing to come downhill as far as our linebackers. I mean, Jaquan Williams and those guys, he's a good athlete, but, he's a lateral player. And I'm just wondering, will we start to look at somebody who's willing to come downhill, get some young guys in there who are willing, you know, to to stop the run at the line of scrimmage. I really, you know, to me, it just seems like if we're running lateral, then we've already beat ourselves. You know, I want to see more tackles at the line of scrimmage and behind the line of scrimmage. And we can't do that without linebackers who are willing to come downhill.
You need downhill linebackers. You need linebackers with speed. The way the NFL works now with these tight ends that can run and a lot of these fast running backs, you need fast linebackers that are willing to get downhill and get behind the line of scrimmage. Guys that are going to disrupt, not make the tackle 5 yards down the field, but blow up a running play in the hole or in the line of scrimmage. And real quick, one more thing on Starks. One thing I'd worry about him a little bit, Steve, is he's already been in the NFL for 9 seasons, and it's tough to play defensive line for 9, 10, 11, 12 seasons in the NFL and be effective. That being said, in his last 5 seasons, he's had 22 sacks. As a defensive tackle, that's actually pretty darn good. So he's been productive. You just wonder how much he has left. And if you want to sign to a big contract, if you're going to get that same player for the entire contract.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, if we're going to give a big contract out, I'd rather give it to OC than anybody if we're going to come close to giving a big contract. But I just really kind of thought I like his leadership on the field. I really think he'd be good for other players around him, especially some of the younger guys. But, you know, my whole thing is I think we kind of need to change the philosophy around a little bit as far as getting to our corners to do a little bit more chipping at the line of scrimmage and shorten the field and not really worry about our linebackers covering so much. As you know, as really if we shorten the field, you know, and keep everything short, then, you know, we can let our defensive line and our linebackers, you know, control the game that way and really not even let the, you know, the receivers get too far downfield. You know, that's, you know, to me, I'd like to see more of that. I really don't know if it really kind of makes sense, but it just seems that we get a little bit more physical at the line that we don't have to worry about our linebackers covering as much.
Yeah, the one problem you have with that, and the reason it's worked so well in the past with the Giants disrupting wide receivers at the line of scrimmage, Steve, is that the Giants' defensive line would get to the quarterback. And, you know, you get it more aggressive, and by the time the wide receiver makes that double move and then they burn the corner, the quarterback's under pressure, he can't throw the pass. The issue we get into is, for example, last year when the Giants couldn't get to the quarterback and struggled with it, if you're going to play that tight coverage and bump and run, you know, you put a couple moves on, you get behind the corner, you're playing a one safety deep deal, you got guys running wide open down the field, and if your defensive line's not getting there, which the Giants didn't last year, you're going to get hit for a lot of big plays. So I think it's a domino effect, where if you can get that better pass rush, get the better pass pressure, then you can bring the guys, the corners, up to the line of scrimmage and play a little bump and run.
Yeah, well, I definitely agree with that, but I really don't know if it's, you know, so much data, we just can't stop the run. You know, I mean, I think everything's kind of, you know, gone against us after we've shown that we're just unwilling to stop the run.
Starts with that. Everything starts with stopping the run. If you can't do that, you're never in third and long. You can't rush the passer. You can't, you know, bump up wide receivers at the line of scrimmage. It's a huge domino effect. And look, I've talked about it all offseason long, Steve. Stopping the run is number one.
Well, let's hope we get it done this year. I mean, I think we'll have all the pieces in place by the time we get ready for next year. So, guys, I appreciate you taking the call. And, you know, well, first of all, hey, listen, why did you guys start a little half an hour later now?
Well, we're only going a half hour because I'm flying this ship solo for the next couple months. So it's a little hard for me to carry the show for an hour. Usually don't get quite enough calls to do it. So once we get closer to the draft, we'll probably have a quick expansion back to an hour for a few weeks, and then we'll ramp back down before the season starts.
Okay, well, I'll definitely be checking in. You guys have a good one. Thanks for
taking the call. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. I'd love to give you a full hour of schmelk every morning. I'm just not sure I could pull it off. I got to be honest with you. We're also playing around, maybe trying to do a little video thing with this over the course of the next few weeks. So we'll see if that works out. That's something we're playing around with maybe in the month of March. I'll give you a little sneak preview of things to come. So we'll see what happens with that. Final call of the show, 1025, Len's in Maryland. Len, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good show. Like the previous caller, I wish it were an hour, but I heard your explanation and I understand it. And you know, you are indeed doing a good job.
I'm trying, Len. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you really are. You're doing a nice job. You know, the theme seems to be over the last couple of weeks, if we're going to sign people, you know, it's got to be at the right price. Well, I mean, when isn't that an issue? I mean, it's always an issue.
Well, it isn't as much of an issue for a team like the Bengals, who have $45 million under the salary cap. If you have $45 million under the cap, you might be able to overspend for a guy or two and still be able to fill out the rest of your roster.
It's also been part of their culture, if we want to pick on the Bengals for a while. But, you know, they've been a bit parsimonious. I don't want to say cheap. I'll just say parsimonious.
No, they're cheap. And, it's okay.
You know, Beatty and Cruz. I mean, these are the two guys. You know, I think we're just going to have to figure out a way to pay these guys. You know, we got lucky with Victor, free agent, 1 year on injured reserve for probably a fake injury 3 years ago, but he was on injured reserve, and 2 years with just unbelievable production. I mean, you can't lose that production, and. I don't know if Victor is holding all the cards in his hand, eventually, if the Giants want to keep him, and geez, I think we've just absolutely got to keep him, we're just going to have to pay this guy. And with Beatty, as I said the other day, when we drafted him 4 years ago, this is where we thought he was going to be. I mean, this is, you know, he's an offensive left tackle in the NFL. You can't pay him right tackle money and ask him to pay less tax. I guess you can ask him to do that, but... he's going to be in demand, and I think we just, William Beatty is just going to, he's going to get his money, and I think for the next 5 years, the Giants and their fans will be very happy with him at left tackle. All right, listen, breaking down the draft, here's where I am this morning. Here's four guys I hope are there at 19.
All right, who's that?
Now, we'll probably change this list as we go along because we haven't reached free agency yet, so forth and so on, whose contracts have been reworked, but not necessarily in any order. The guard, you mentioned them earlier, Cooper.
Uh-huh.
The defensive end from Brigham Young, Ansar.
Okay.
The right tackle, Fluker, although if I had to rank him, he's the right tackle. I'd probably put Fluker fourth on my list, but I hope he's there. And the defensive tackle from North Carolina, Williams.
Mm-hmm.
We need big guys. We need big men. We need space eaters. We need guys who are not going to get blown off the line of scrimmage, guys who are going to hold their own. We need sumo wrestlers. We need guys who are going to get in there and wrestle and hold that line of scrimmage. And I don't care how fast they run. I just want guys who will make contact with the center and the guards and hold their own and maybe push them back a little bit. I don't need five sacks. I just need space eaten up at defensive tackle, and that's why I would lean toward a defensive tackle, and I think this guy from Carolina might be there. Those are my four at the moment. I crossed off Ogletree for obvious reasons.
Off the field stuff,
Teo,
yeah.
I think Teo is going to be I haven't crossed him off completely. I mean, if he's there in the second round, fine, but I don't want to go with this guy at 19.
Okay.
I think Teo is going to be there. I just think Teo is going to need some time, and I think we need somebody who's going to play from day one. Let me throw another name out there. I missed the guy. Well, LSU linebacker.
Yeah, Yolan, hold on. Yeah. Minter. Okay, yeah, because right now I'm counting three. You have Sylvester out of North Carolina, Ansa from BYU,
right.
And then
Cooper.
Then you have Cooper, guard, and then who's your fourth guy?
Well, I had Fluker.
Okay.
The right tackle from Alabama. Who I think is strictly a right tackle, and then let me add the middle linebacker from LSU, Minter.
Okay.
If those five guys are there, I think some of the guys who we'd like are going to be gone. Okay, but if those five guys are there today, on February 23rd, whatever today's date is.
Yep.
If those five guys are there, given everything that we know, I'd be a happy man. We can find a football player. Three-down guy in those five. And listen, keep up the good work. It's a great listen every morning, and we'll indeed talk again. Thank you for the time.
Anytime, Len. I appreciate it as always, my friend. And just taking a look, just for an example, looking at Kuiper's big board here on ESPN. He has Cooper as the 11th best player. That's one of the guys that Len mentioned. Fluker at 16, so he's a guy that could be in the Giants' range at 19, certainly a possibility. Sylvester Williams at 20, also right in the mix where Len wanted to pick. And then he stops his big board at 25, so those two guys not even on the board. So I think all those guys are realistic possibilities for the Giants. He doesn't even have Ansa in his top 25. That's actually surprising to me. I don't see him here. But I think that's certainly realistic guys for Len to point out that they hope could possibly be there. I think that makes a certain amount of sense. In fact, if you take a look at it on the NFL.com mock draft central, they have four different mock drafts up there from Gil Brandt, Daniel Jeremiah, Josh Norris, and Bucky Brooks. These go back over the next like month and a half or last month and a half or so. They have the Giants taking Fluker in one, Ansa going in another. So those are two of Len's names all over it. Alec Ogletree, we talked about him with some of his off-the-field stuff. And then Manti Te'o was another one. But they have Ogletree going in that area. They have Fluker going in that area. Ansa going in that area. So I think he picked up some good names. They have Sylvester Williams going at the end of the first round. That's another guy. Same thing with Minter. So I think Len picked out some good names. And those are all options. But again, if I had to guess now, and I don't know anything, I'd say the Giants will likely go defensive line or linebacker with that first pick in the first round. Just a guess. Just because the draft is heavy in those spots, I think there'll be some opportunities to pick somebody at those positions. Everybody, thanks for joining us this morning on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. We'll be with you back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll talk some more Combine, see whether or not I'm going to get more into whether or not the fans are going to watch it, whether or not you think it's entertaining, and how useful you think it is for NFL teams. I think that could be an interesting talk. Maybe we'll have somebody on from the Combine as well next Monday. So thanks for joining us, everybody. We appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow morning on Giants.com. Have a good one.